So good afternoon. As he said, my name is Shar Johnson. I am NYU right now, but I trained at Kings County, where so many of your ridiculous stories come from. So as we go through this night, I can't help but feel that what we're really sharing is a oral history of fables of the ER, all teaching a little bit about the rules. So my story kind of centers on the utility of food in de-escalating complex situations, which I'm sure any parent in the room can probably agree with. So for anybody else that grew up on a diet of Golden Girls, picture it, Brooklyn, 2018. Young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed intern comes in for her overnight shift. She's very excited, happy to be there. At the beginning of my shift, a young man, we'll call him Bob, gets rolled into the ED. Bob is wearing naught but a plastic bag, lovingly called a scandal bag in my country, that's covering his more scandalous bits and nothing else. He's also sleeping the sleep of the freshly sedated, and he goes rolling past us. My senior looks at me, I look at him, he says, I got it. And I'm like, yay. He goes off to see the patient. So examining the patient, we don't really think that he's doing a good job of taking care of his ADLs and managing his life, so we decide to call psych. Psych says he's been medically cleared. We get a CAT scan, we get blood work, get all of these things. He's still sleeping very nicely. Psych eventually accepts him, and we have a CPAP. CPAP is in a separate building, so he's hanging out with us until CPAP. 11 o'clock rolls around, senior sign-out happens, and my outgoing senior gives the best and most dangerous sign-out in the ER. Nothing to do. Gentleman's accepted to CPAP. He's going to go over eventually. While we're waiting for eventually, I'm sitting down minding my own business. Mind you, doing notes as a good little intern. Or ED is set up so that like the bay where the nurses and the doc sits right here, and we have patients around us, including behind us. And while I'm like doing my notes, all I hear is, sir, sir, I need you to stop. Sir, you should really sit down. Sir. It's one of our medicine rotators. And she sounds like she's struggling. So me in my superhero era, I'm like, I'm gonna go take care of this. So I walk around, and Bob is awake, sitting up on the edge of his bed, and he seems, shall we say, displeased with what's happening. So I'm like, sir, what's going on? He has lots of questions. Where are my things? This is really how I met you, so I don't really know where anything else is. I can ask, but why am I in the hospital? I'm gonna guess acute versus subacute psychosis. Can I go home? Hard no. At this point, he gets up, is kind of tuttering, and I'm like, oh, well, okay. The med rotator has kindly decided this is not her fight. And I'm like, sir, I really don't think you're doing really great. I think you should really sit down. Come on, work with me here. Takes a look around the room, notices that his neighbor, because it's two to our room, has a tray of food. Neighbor is admitted. He decides he wants a tray of food. No, not a tray. He wants that tray of food. I'm like, sir, I promise you I can get you something to eat. I just need you to calm down. Take a seat with me, it's okay. He looks at me kind of askance, but he's standing still. I run around, I get him a sandwich. I hand him the sandwich, he takes the sandwich, throws the sandwich on the ground. No, I've seen the sandwich at Kings County. I would have thrown the sandwich on the ground too. So he once again is standing up and is like lumbering towards me, and I'm like, sir, I really don't think this is doing the best for you. I really think you'd be better sitting down. I'm backing up, he's coming out towards me. And at this point, nursing and PCTs are starting to notice people are coming in. Everybody's yelling at him, sir, we really need to sit down. Sir, we need you to sit down. I don't know what you're doing. Sir, you need to sit down. He looks around the room, clearly realizes that there are better ways to demonstrate his displeasure, and he decides to poop. Now, the poop is on the liquider side, but the people that are really interesting. And I know what you're thinking, this whole like plastic bag G-string situation. If one poops, you would expect poop going down the side of both legs, making sense, right? You would all be wrong. What happens is the poop goes into the little plastic bag G-string and collects it, nay, concentrates it in an easily accessible manner. And now this man, being the owner of one of the most dangerous and feared substances in the ED, sticks his hand into his plastic bag of poop and lifts his hand up in a sign of defiance and freedom. Because the emergency department exists only to prove that Murphy's Law is real, hospital police comes in at this time. They see him, they see the hand of poop, they go, nuh-uh. They know how to go. So we're all now like, sir, we need you to calm down, please put the poop hand down. The real authority in the ED finally shows up, our charge nurse. She walks around the corner. She sees him, she sees the hand of poop, she sees plastic scandalous bag of poop, and mom voice gets activated. Sir, sit down right now. At some point, clearly, the like ingrained obedience in the back of his head triggers and he goes, I should sit down. So he reaches for the chair from the nurse's station, pulls it to him, and he sits. Poop hand, plastic bag, splat. At this time, we're all, because once again, this is charge nurse station chair, we're like, get up, you cannot be sitting on that chair, get up. He's clearly confused by the mixed signals that we're sending, which in his defense is our fault. So he stands and flings the chair across the room, goes sailing, poop and all. Hospital police sees this and is like, all right, I guess we're probably going to have to do something. So they start putting on gloves and a gown and a hat and face mask and panties and I guess some sort of emotional tactical vest to deal with this. So it's taking a while. So they're over there taking their sweet time. He's getting incredibly more irate. Everybody's kind of yelling. But in the depths of despair, there's always hope. While all of this was happening, somebody had clearly walked by with one of the dining carts. And I see it across the room. And the door is swinging open gently in a way that doesn't exist. And there is a lonesome tree sitting right there. So I shuffle over and grab the tree. And I'm standing at the head of the bed that hospital police had brought to transport him over. Meanwhile, hospital police is putting on a gown and gloves and a hat and booties. You get the picture. So I look at him and I'm like, sir, you wanted a tray of food? Here. Looks at me, looks at the tray, motions me over to him. I'm like, no, you want the tray, you have to come for it. And I puts it at the head of the bed. Looks at me, considers for a minute. Then he takes a running leap, sailing through the air. Scandal bag, protecting the valuables like you wouldn't believe. And he achieves, in his defense, a height and a grace that a prima ballerina would cry over before he lands face down on the tray, in the bed, and just opens his mouth and goes, starts eating. Hospital police, realizing this is our moment, flings all of the sheets that they hadn't managed to put on themselves over him, getting the poop on one side of the sheet and them on the other side of the sheet. And he is just eating face first in the thing. And they sail out of the ER, minding their own business once again, calm restored. We're all standing there. My charge nurse is on the phone trying to figure out who exactly cleans poop off of ceiling tile. I take a deep breath. I go back around. I sit down. My senior looks at me. Where have you been? De-escalating. I handed him a sandwich. And thus ends the story of whenever the night is darkest and your patients are most aggressive and angry, never forget the power and the pleasure of a hospital sandwich.